Get Talent Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Get Talent Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Cross, and I'm joined by my fabulous co-host, Danny Herskowitz. What's up, Danny? How you doing?
Great. I'm doing great today. How about you, Ben?
I'm pumped. Hey, you guys still smoky in Jersey?
Not anymore. We're not smoky anymore, thankfully.
It blew away.
Came
home. You guys got the air freshener out.
Exactly. The headache is over. We're good.
Sheesh. That was rough for a minute there.
It was weird.
I was looking at the map last night, and you guys had like a purple. Like there was like all the dark shades of red are the worst places, and you guys were purple.
Yes.
Oh, no.
It was crazy. I couldn't believe it. It was going outside. There were masks on, and it was nuts.
God bless our friends in Canada. I hope they're doing well.
Yeah.
Out there.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. Hit that like button if you're watching us on LinkedIn. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, that's awesome as well. We got a really cool show today, Danny. You excited about this?
I really am. It's a last minute topic, so I'm really excited about it.
Dude, we just talk about stuff we know about, right? And this came up. And so tell us, what are we talking about today, Danny?
We're going to talk about the hottest job that no one knows about.
The hottest job no one knows about. Okay. All right. Okay. So is this, you know, here's a hot job for you that I've been hearing about a lot. Is this like AI chat prompts? AI chat prompts.
Close, but not exactly.
Okay,
Is it
global mobility recruiters?
No, that's been done before.
That's been overrated. All right. What is it then, Danny?
This is a position that you first told me about. Actually, we heard about a couple years ago, and it's called a growth hacker.
Growth hacker? That sounds like a made up word. My first salaried position in the workplace after college was a sales champion.
Yeah, same idea.
This sounds about as made up as a sales champion.
Yeah, it does.
Where did this term come from?
So this term came from someone named Sean Ellis. He's an entrepreneur, an investor, and he was working for the company Dropbox in 2010. And he was in marketing, and he coined this phrase of someone focused on creating scalable growth and manipulating, measuring each aspect of the customer funnel. And his philosophy was on experimental marketing. So that's really what he focused on.
Experimental marketing. Okay, that's interesting. Sounds like what do you do? Experimental marketing. You like microdose on mushrooms and then market? Exactly. Like what are you experimenting with?
You're experimenting with different tools, a lot of automation tools, and your goal is to essentially test them, come up with like a hypothesis, keep improving it, and then going back and starting again.
Okay.
So a lot of companies at the time, a lot of tech startups were doing this, using these techniques, and he realized that this could be an actual role. And now today, I mean, a lot of these, bigger companies like Facebook and Uber, they've got teams that do growth hacking specifically. But it's not something that's really talked about in our industry and a lot of the companies that we've worked with before. So
there are zero growth hackers in the global mobility industry, to my knowledge.
Yeah, I haven't seen the title in any of them.
But I'm going to make a bold prediction on this show right now. This is like Namath beating the Colts. There will be more growth hackers in this industry. Because I think this is one of the most slept on roles and opportunities out there, and especially with the new tools that are coming out between AI, so much of the sales automation and things like that that's going on, with the increased cost of customer acquisition that's just going through the roof, I'm telling you, you're going to see growth hackers coming about.
Yeah, well, first of all, I always know you you have this prophecy, and it usually happens from what I've seen in the past couple of years working with you. So I feel good about that. But like, I give you my kind of definition, textbook definition. Mm-hmm. It'd be good if you can explain what it actually really means so people can understand it.
Yeah. So growth hacking is about finding shortcuts to scale. Right. And shortcuts to scale. And I think back on earliest times with growth hacking, one of the earliest growth hacking activities that I did in my career was the mail merge.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So here's a growth hacking tip that even us old people probably know about or heard about, right?
Yeah.
How many of us have done a mail merge, right? Where you get a list from a conference that you're going to and it has names and emails. And you write an email in Microsoft Word and it says, "Dear first name, comma, enter. Can't wait to see you at the upcoming conference. Stop by my booth. Let's get a cup of coffee. Talk to you soon. You know, Ben," right? And then you mail merge that in. It's like, "Dear Sally, dear John, dear Susie, dear," you know, and it just goes out to like 500 people. And then boom, out of that, you get like 15 meetings, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's a form of growth hacking. It's how do we use our tools to do top of the funnel activities and lead generation? How do we use tools to automate sales and marketing practices to generate leads and create demand? And there's two kinds of marketing. There's attract and there's attack. Okay. And you might say attract is maybe marketing, and attack is sales. And growth hacking is kind of like more on the attack side. It's marketing that's more active,
yeah,
right? So it's almost like hunting, right? Marketing,
yeah,
that hunts versus marketing that kind of farms. So the strategy with attraction marketing is things like content marketing, right? Mm-hmm. What we're doing right here, right? The Get Talent Podcast. This is a form of attraction marketing, right? We're creating thought leadership, you know, white papers, things out there in the marketplace that are going to be really cool, bright and shiny, and get people to think of us, think well of us, and maybe call us if they have a need, right? We're trying to get into people's mental consideration set when they have five companies that they're thinking of to do a certain service, right?
Yeah.
Attack is when we say, "All right, Danny, I've got a list of 100 companies that need recruitment services. Go get them, Tiger." Right? You're like, "All right, okay. All right, company one, hey, I'm a recruiter." Okay, hung up. Okay, company two, "Hey, I'm a recruiter and I want to," hung up. Okay, great. You know, and that's old school sales. But how do we do it in a way that is a lot faster than that, right? And so that's when we start using all the tools. And there's so many tools out there right now. We'll probably get into all that stuff. People are checking in here. People are answering the question, "What is the hottest job that nobody knows about?" Cliff Bierman says, "Danny's barber."
Yeah.
Cliff, I'm
self-employed, first of all, so.
I think your barber does his color, okay? Sheesh.
So, I'd like to ask your opinion on this, Ben. Why should a company hire a growth hacker? The hottest job that nobody knows about.
Right. Why do companies need this hottest job that nobody knows about? Why should they know about this job?
Yeah.
There's a few factors going on in the marketplace, right? So you have to first look at, and it depends on if the company is a B2B or a B2C company, right? A business to business or a business to
business. Yeah.
And growth hacking is important for both, but I think it's used differently for each.
How's that?
So in a business to consumer business, you have, so customer acquisition is a major problem. So the customer acquisition problem on business to consumer is that the cost of acquisition through things like Google AdWords, Facebook ads, et cetera, is just astronomical. It's at a breaking point right now. It's so high that you really can't use it. There's no ROI on it. Okay. It's broken, right? So that's one. On the B2B side, where many of our clients live, the problem is that there is a lot of noise in the marketplace. There is a lot of sameness in the marketplace. So the customers don't know like what the difference is. They hear a lot of, you know, there's a lot of moving companies. Let's say you're a moving company, right? It's a lot of moving companies. They all look alike. Why should I choose them? Oh, gosh, it's just too much work. I'm not even going to bother. Right.
Yeah.
And so you have to kind of cut through that in a way that makes sense, that's scalable and sustainable. And I think what happens is one of the biggest complaints that we get from our clients is that when they hire salespeople, national account salespeople, one executive told me, he said, they're all a bunch of donut takers. I'm like, what's a donut taker? Like, I mean, it sounds like my kind of job, you know. Yeah. Maybe that's the hottest job nobody knows about, right? And he said, they're all a bunch of donut takers. I'm like, what's that? He's like, well, they'll show up to the party and they'll take the donuts, you know, or they'll bring the donuts, but they're not actually doing business. They're just playing around. They're just making relationships, quote unquote, air quotes, right?
Right.
Spending money on T&E, but they're not actually closing anything.
Right.
And you could hear the frustration in these people's voices because you have six-figure salespeople with, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 T&E budgets, travel and expense budgets, and they're not producing commensurate with that. So because they're not getting enough, enough at-bats, they're not getting enough opportunities, right? And so the growth hacker really focuses on getting those highly skilled salespeople who are the only ones that can really sell that complex sale, getting them a critical mass of what I say is warm, informed, quality leads.
Yeah, it's great.
And the difference between a warm, informed, quality lead is like the difference between growth hacking and SEO. Because you could do SEO, search engine optimization. Those will be warm leads, but they won't necessarily be informed or quality leads. Or you can run a Google ad or whatever. And people get real, oh, I'm doing a lot of SEO. I talk to these RMCs all the time. They're like, oh, we're doing a lot of SEO right now. We're getting a lot of leads from it. But what they don't realize is that the people that were clicking on their name from an SEO standpoint were looking for like a third, fourth, or fifth participant in an RFP. They weren't looking for a first place. They were looking for what we call column fodder.
They were looking for someone to fill it out. Came in late.
Yeah. So what happens is these buyers will say, oh, I need a new RMC. Let's just say a new relocation management company. And I know who I want and I know who I like, but my company says I need 3-5 bids. So I'm going to Google RMCs and I'm going to invite this one, and this one to the party. What does 3, 4, and 5 really have a chance? I mean,
right. Maybe, right?
Maybe.
Unlikely.
Right. So they're what's called column fodder, right? So they end up showing up to the party. They end up going through all the process and they spend a lot of time and money on the bid process and they don't win. What does 3, 4, and 5 really have a chance? I mean,
right. Maybe, right?
Maybe.
Unlikely.
Right. So they're what's called column fodder, right? So they end up showing up to the party, they end up going through all the process, and they spend a lot of time and money on the bid process and they don't win. And sometimes that could be even more damaging than not participating in these processes at all. So my point is you don't want to be 3, 4, and 5, which is where SEO will get you. You want to be 1 or 2 in the process.
That makes a lot of sense. It's they've got maybe that warm and informed part, but the quality's not there.
Well, they've got the warm part, but the informed part is this. By the time the RFP process comes, I know it's a request for proposal and a request for information, but by the time that process comes around, they need to already know about you and already be convinced of your ability to do the job.
And
you're possible. So my point is with the growth hacking. So here's where I'm going with all this, right? So I'm going off on this long, like, you know, circuitous route to get here. The point is you need to have these meetings leading up to the RFP cycle. And the way to get those meetings and in front of people and be messaging them is through growth hacking and email and marketing automation and sales automation. And that's what growth hackers do.
Yeah, that's I can relate it to our industry where you are working with a client, you have a great relationship with them, and you're talking about a position for months before. So are there certain companies that shouldn't hire for this position, or should every company hire for this position?
Yeah, I mean, companies that shouldn't hire a growth hacker are companies, well, one, who can't handle growth. Some companies just don't
can't support it, right?
They don't have the bandwidth for it on the operations team. They don't have the capital to support it.
Right.
It's not in their business strategy. Maybe their market's already saturated. Like if I got 80% of a market, there's companies out here that are in like the billing space, the audit space, you know, other space like that. If they've got a predominant market, you know, market saturation, market position, hiring a growth hacker doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Growth hackers are really more about hyper growth companies, startup companies, companies that have done something strategically to position themselves for rapid growth.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. So it's a company that just wants to get more market share. And like you're saying, if a company already has that, it might not be something that they even need to do. Would they be better off doing sort of that, the other stuff you were talking about, the SEO, or what should they do in that case?
They want to maintain their market position. Okay. So, you know, traditional marketing, which is more of that attract and affirm marketing.
I see.
Where it's like, we are the global leader. As you know, for 50 years, we've been the global leader. And like, those are the way their commercials sound, right?
Yeah.
That's what they need to do. They need to do for 50 years so that in 100 years, we've been the market leader. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the play that they're trying to do, right?
Right.
And that's cool. So run those spots, you know?
Yeah. So that's an easy way to think about it. If you're thinking about hiring this person, determine where you're at in your company, right? What size you are.
They're also not going to have, low base, high commission salespeople. They're going to have high base, low commission account managers. Mm-hmm. You know, who are there to just kind of farm and continue to keep the business where it is.
So let's actually talk about maybe some like practical tips that we can give to these, you know, when we're on these, you know, we do a lot of these calls. We had a call recently about this position and I feel like you did a great job of kind of breaking it down and the reasons that, you know, this company, an RMC, should hire this person. So what would you say, like, once, you know, how can that company determine that they need a growth hacker? I know we talked about it a little bit before, but let's say we're talking about an RMC specific to our industry, right? What can they do to, you know, when we're sitting on the call, how can we make them realize or decide if they even need one or not?
You have to kind of key in on words that they're giving you. Mm-hmm. So first we start by asking, okay, what problem are you trying to solve? Because a lot of times by the time they get on the phone with us, they've already made a lot of decisions.
Yeah.
So sometimes we have to kind of take them back a few steps, right? Yeah. We say, okay, let's start from the beginning here. What's the problem we're trying to solve? And then we ask everyone on the call to state the problem in their own words. You'll get a lot of common themes coming out of it, but you'll also start to see where people aren't necessarily aligned. And so then we take all that and say, okay, it sounds like what we really need to do, and then we laser focus it. And if the answer to that, what we really need to do is generate more leads who are qualified, warm, and informed. If that's the problem you're trying to solve, then that's when you need a growth hacker.
Yeah. Okay. So now that they've decided that they need this person, they might even come to us. Like, so what are like the technical skills that this person should have? So what are some of those technical things a person should have in order to be a successful growth hacker for the company?
Excellent question. One, whatever the company's CRM of choice is, whether it's Salesforce or it's HubSpot or whatever it is, I'm looking for a growth hacker who is a power user of that CRM.
Makes sense. They can jump right into it.
I need them to be like admin level. I know all the tricks. I've done, you know, 8 million things with this before.
Yeah.
Maybe I even go to the conference. Maybe I go to the Salesforce conference. Maybe I go to the HubSpot conference. Like I'm in. I've got the HubSpot water bottle. Like I'm all in. You know, I got the orange tattoo. Yeah. Like I'm in. So I look for that, number one, right? And then I look for kind of a portfolio of other tools that they have in their back pocket. And I'm gonna ask them, what tools do you use?
Yeah.
And I'm going to dig a little deeper besides like HubSpot and, you know, ChatGPT. I want to hear some. So I worked with this growth hacker at a previous client. this guy was so impressive. Like, I think about this guy all the time. He's like the one that got away. I'm like, oh man, if I could have just got this guy, you know. This guy had like this tool called Phantom Buster, I think it's called, or Phantom Blaster. I think it's Phantom Buster. And it was like a tool that could like scrape LinkedIn data and then take that data and then organize it into a, you know, CSV file. And you could like give him a job title and he would like overnight, this tool would work. And it was like a free tool. And you'd wake up in the morning with like 100, you know, fully like parsed out, you know, name, last name, company, title, email, phone, you know, stuff like that. Right. And these people have these kind of tools at their disposal. So they're well-versed in list creation. They're well-versed in email sequencing. They're well-versed in drip campaigns and things like this, you know? So I'm asking about those kinds of tools.
Yeah.
Excel, data management, things like that.
Right.
As well.
Yeah, you want to see like how advanced they are, right? Not just using the basic stuff. Like, can they go deep? Are they willing to test? That's another part. Are they willing to test out those different tools?
Yeah, I would sit on an interview and I would literally ask them. I'm like, okay, you know, here's what we do roughly, right? We're a, you know, we're a moving company. We want to generate, you know, 100 new RFPs this year, and how would we go about doing that?
And aside from technical skills, what would you say are some of the character traits or the soft skills that this person should possess in order to be a good hire?
Well, they should be very process oriented. They should be very data driven. They should be project oriented, understand how to manage projects. They need to work with various stakeholders in the organization, because while they may sit in marketing, for instance, they need to be able to go over to sales and really, they almost need to be a sales minded person.
Yeah.
Behind enemy lines over in marketing, right?
Yeah.
Because marketing's kind of this soft and fuzzy attraction world.
Right.
But they need to be wearing this attack hat, you know,
yeah,
sitting over there, right? So they're not going to really be at home in sales or in marketing, but they need to be able to kind of coexist in both places. And then they need to also be able to talk to the technical people, because there's some engineering and some development that goes into modifying these tools, creating API integrations and things like that, right? So you're looking for someone that's a lot more technically minded than a marketer typically would be.
So I guess let's answer, like, kind of leave it off with the question I think that every maybe business owner or hiring manager would want to know when they're hiring anybody, but a position that maybe they've never heard about. What's the ROI? Like, what can a company expect by hiring this person, assuming that it's a good fit for them? What can they expect to happen, let's say, within 6 to 12 months if they made a good hire?
Well, yeah, and I would even start kind of earlier than 6 to 12, right? So like, okay, right off the jump, first 30 days, obviously they're learning the value proposition of the company, but they are forging a client persona to say, okay, here's who our perfect client is. Then you cross-reference that with the market to say, who are the clients out there that meet this persona? So now you have a target list. And then you have, then you map those target lists and say, okay, who are the buyers within these organizations? And now you have a list going, right? And now you start to work on these sequencing and these marketing automation things. And then you start to work with the sales team. You start to work with the other people in marketing. You start to engage with the content specialist and copywriter on staff. So you need to, you should see this person within the first month starting to have a lot of conversations with other departments to learn and to also give knowledge, because they're going to be teaching quite a bit as well, and to start architecting these different campaigns and sequences. And they should be able to report to you on a weekly basis the metrics and the KPI around these marketing campaigns, just the same way that a digital marketing person would. Now, 6 to 12 months, six months from, you know, from hire, you should start seeing quite a bit of the people that were on that person's, on that growth hacker's target list start showing up in the pipeline for the salespeople, where they started to have meetings with these people. 12 months out, you should start seeing deals getting closed and invitations to RFPs.
any last or final thoughts on?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone should be looking at hiring a growth hacker. I think everyone needs to be looking at email sequencing, sales automation, demand generation. These are the kinds of things we need to be thinking about in a B2B world, and how we manage our funnels and pipelines. And we need to do it in a way, and this is what I'll caution you as a reformed salesperson. We need to be doing it in a way that is minimal friction to the sales team. A lot of times, one of the pitfalls that I see a lot of times when we see companies move into, you know, okay, we're going to adopt this growth hacker mindset, is the obsession with tracking all the data can really rub senior salespeople who are relationship-based salespeople, really rub them the wrong way. And you lose those people in the process. So as you migrate towards being more of a data-driven sales organization, you lose your best salespeople. So the real trick for a leader out there is to understand how to keep and nurture those salespeople that have the relationships and the institutional and industry knowledge necessary to close big, complex enterprise deals while taking advantage of the efficiencies of a growth hacker. So you need to have both coexist. And that's really where it's incumbent on leaders to be able to empathize and see both sides.
It's great advice. Yeah, that balance, right? Sometimes you solve one problem, you end up causing others. So
for sure.
That's really good. Well, thanks, Ben. I've really enjoyed looking at this topic. And I would say anybody who wants to learn more about this should definitely reach out to you and the Glomo team, even if it's just having a conversation.
Yeah.
If they're considering, is this something that they should be doing? I think it would be great to talk through that, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And if there's any other jobs you guys want to hear about or any other topics you want to hear about on the Get Talent podcast, please let us know. If you have an issue or something like that and you want to reach out to me personally as CEO, do that as well. Take care, y'all. Thanks so much.
Bye.